And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Just a quick reminder, take my poll up on my website. It's a real simple yes or no question. Do you think that 2012 will be a better year than 2011? Yes or no? You can find that poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. I'll announce the results of the poll on Thursday's show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is a new year, a new way of looking at ourselves and the world. Each of my guests is giving us a different perspective to start off 2012. My next guest is a photojournalist with an unusual subject matter, small U.S. post offices in danger of closing. He'll reveal the human and social effects of the post office closures. And if you want to ask a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Evan Kalish is 25 years old. He's photographing post offices across the country, particularly those in small rural areas. His father has collected postmarks since 1960, and Evan became interested in the post offices during a three-month cross-country trip back in 2008. He's visited 2,850 post offices across 43 states so far. Evan attended Brown University, and he's currently at the University of Pennsylvania obtaining a master's in urban spatial analytics, which means working with spatial data, statistical analysis, and maps, which he thinks is ideally suited for the purpose of good decision making. His new career, however, may be that Evan may rethink his new career and his career ambitions to include being the Charles Kuralt of the post offices across the United States. Joining us from New Hampshire, how are you today, Evan?
Hello, Billy. Thank you for having me. I'm great today. And yourself?
Doing great. Thank you for being our guest, and thank you for taking time away from your visits to the post offices to answer several of my questions. Now, you were recently written up in Time magazine for your efforts to photograph all these small post offices across the country. You were quoted in that article as saying, "The post office has helped build the country." I thought that was an interesting quote. What did you mean by that?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say, if you were to track the progress, if you were to look at maps and little lights were to show up whereupon a post office was established, you'd see that it very closely mirrors the actual expansion of the country from east to west. As soon as new territories became a part of the country, even before they were states, post offices were established. Many town names were formed or corrected by the post office department, and remember, it was once a federal department. And many towns on the map are only exist on the map because they did at one point or do now have post offices. It's what gives them their identity.
All right, so it gives towns and cities their identity. I get that. But why is this slow demise of the small town post offices a problem that's worthy of national attention, do you think?
Because back in 1775, when Ben Franklin established the nation's first post office, of course, before we were a nation, and when the Constitution was signed, the post office was seen as a critical way of binding the country together. And if you actually go out and you visit these places, you'll find they aren't ghost towns, but they actually capture the life in the communities. It's how people connect with each other. It's how they connect with the outside world. Not everybody has internet. Not everybody likes to pay bills online. And I think that, I believe that thousands of rural communities would suffer or lose their connections or would lose their livelihoods if their post offices were to close.
All right.
And I think that is worthy of attention because that's not how historically the post offices have been managed or how... Let's leave it at that.
All right. Well, clearly it's not how they've been managed historically. It's certainly not the direction that the USPS seems to be going right now. And we'll come to that in just a minute. It should be noted, you mentioned it in the setup there, that the post office is part of the Constitution. It's one of the few federal government agencies that was actually mandated in the Constitution. Article 13 of the Constitution said that we will set up post offices and postal routes. So I want to come back to the whole post office situation, Evan, in a minute if I can, but want to talk a little bit more about your love of the post office. I mean, in the setup, I said that you got your love of postmarks from your father. Now, why are these postmarks of interest to you today? You also take the photos of the post offices. Why does this interest you today?
Well, postmarks are really little, well, to me, they're little slices of history. They're ways of documenting my travels. If you get a postmark on a physical object, you have an act, you have a tactile souvenir of where you've been and when you've been there. And I loved when I was traveling back in 2008, as you mentioned, let's see, I ended up visiting about 250 post offices, and I found that it was a fantastic way of documenting my experiences. And sometimes it was a good motivation to visit parts of the country that I might otherwise overlook and having experiences that I wouldn't ordinarily have had.
I guess it's the original date time stamp of the world. Well, help me about with the photographs on the post office. Settle the dispute for me, if you will, Evan, because since 9/11, isn't it illegal to photograph a government building?
That misconception, I hear that from a lot of people. That is actually not the case. And let me give you proof of this. If you go on Google Street View right now and try to look up the address of a post office on any main street, you will see the image of the post office right there. I'm not doing anything different. So long as you're on public property, and public streets most certainly count as that, you're allowed to take photographs of whatever you'd like. Now, to be clear, you can be questioned by people if someone thinks you're suspicious. I've been questioned by cops or postal police on a couple of occasions. But if you're on private property and if you do not pose an imminent threat, they can't confiscate your film, they can't ask you to stop taking pictures. And again, if you're inside a post office, this would be different. But so long as you're on the street, it is perfectly acceptable. I guarantee it.
Prior to the Time magazine article, you didn't get any late-night knocks at the door or telephone calls from Homeland Security, did you?
No, absolutely not.
All right, fair enough. My guess...
I've been questioned on a few occasions.
Okay. My guest is Evan Kalish. We're talking about his website, which is Going Postal, and we're talking about the situation with the U.S. Postal Service. And this is really the reason I brought you on the show, Evan, is to talk about this. I mean, what are we going to do with the USPS? Last year, it lost $8.3 billion. This year, it's going to lose about, anywhere between $5.1 and $10.6 billion. And that depends on whether they pay repayment to the health benefits to some of the retired postal workers. Mail volume continues to decline. It declined another 1.7% last year. Postal rates are going to go up from 44 cents to 45 cents this January 22nd. So pay attention to that as well. The price is going up. On the other hand, if you take a look at it, where else can you get a letter from New York to Ventura for just 44 cents? And I'll answer that. You can't. I mean, it's impossible. That's a great value. The USPS is also the country's second largest employer, second only to Walmart. It has the largest fleet of vehicles in the United States. It handled 40% of the world's mail volume, not just the United States volume, but all of the world's mail volume. And as I said before, in Article 13, it's mandated for universal mail coverage in the Constitution. So here we are. We've got this institution that is mandated by our Constitution, and yet it's losing money hand over fist. And we've got a new Postmaster General, Patrick Donahoe, and he's considering closing between 3,000 and 15,000 post offices and area mail processing facilities. That would eliminate somewhere between 120,000 and 220,000 workers over the course of the closures, total savings of about $20 billion. Now, that sounds like a lot, but when asked, Postmaster General Donahoe said that its savings are really only about 1% of the deficit. We've got this problem. How do we deal with it, Evan? I know you want to save the small post offices, but we're losing money hand over fist. What are we to do?
Well, keep in mind, when the post office was established as a department, its goal was not to make money, and I consider it more of a public service. If you think it's a public service, then you'll probably be in favor of keeping the offices open. If you think it's a business, then you'll probably look to close some facilities.
All right.
Now, when you mentioned rural post offices, if the Postal Service were to take out 10% of all the facilities in America, so that is, reduce service to 10%. Imagine 1 in 10 of every community in America, they would save, maybe 2% of their present deficit and about 0.2% of their overall revenue. it's such a small drop in the bucket, and I think that the effects that were to, that would come to the Postal Service by closing these offices would be much greater than the actual savings. I think they're losing, well, let's see. Let me make one point. The Postal Service is presently the most trusted government organization, you know, but if they begin to renege on their obligations, on their birthright, as you mentioned, it is obligated to provide universal service. Well, their reputation's going to suffer. I think customers will look to other options, even more so than they are right now. And I think they'll be losing more money, and the network will become even weaker in the future.
All right.
So I think that the Postal Service should leverage its existing infrastructure, about 37,000 facilities, and as you mentioned, about 400,000 vehicles, and look into new revenue streams. There are several ways they could be doing this.
Well,
there's been one proposal to leverage the vehicle fleet to have the largest set of mobile weather sensors, maybe biohazard sensors, radioactivity sensors that could be used for climatological research, for national security purposes. I mean, you know, organizations would pay through the nose for this, and it could just, and again, maybe the government could even subsidize it via that, as far as the actual physical locations are concerned. Well, in many European countries, the post office serves as a limited bank. As you keep in mind that, I don't know what the number is, but 20 or 30 million people don't have checking accounts, the Postal Service could become even more valuable to them. I don't think that by reducing the infrastructure, reducing the service, and making it more difficult to access the post office, I really don't think that's the way to save it. All successful businesses these days are increasing access, providing better service, making systems more efficient. And here the Postal Service is looking to eliminate overnight mail and make it 2 to 3 days. Even within New York City, you wouldn't be able to get mail from midtown to downtown for 2 to 3 days. I just don't see how that's going to help them in the long run.
My guest is Evan Kalish. We're talking about the U.S. Post Office. He's got a website, Going Postal, and has given great consideration to some of the challenges that we're facing with the USPS. Evan, you mentioned that it became a quasi-governmental agency, the Post Office did, back in the 1970s with the Capel Commission. Excuse me, with the Capel Commission.
1971, yes.
Yeah, 1971. Thank you for that. And the Capel Commission really turned it into neither beast nor fowl, because it went from being a department of the government to being this quasi-governmental agency. You know, it's constitutionally mandated, that's for sure. The thing is, could the post office actually go private if it had to? Is that the direction that Postmaster General Donahoe is taking it in? Or is that just somebody's figment of their imagination that eventually the post office may go private?
I think the analysis of Postmaster General Donahue's motivations is difficult. Some people think he is actually trying to privatize the U.S. Postal Service. I think that would be a complete disaster. And if you say, well, UPS and FedEx are profitable, well, that's true, but they don't deliver to rural areas. In fact, here's a fact people might not know. UPS and FedEx are two of the Postal Service's largest customers. USPS takes care of what are called last-mile deliveries in rural areas where FedEx and UPS don't want to go because it's not cost-effective. So if the Postal Service were to be privatized, I really don't see rural communities being served. I don't think poor communities would be adequately served. And I think it would be in violation of the universal service mandate. So I really hope that doesn't happen. I really also don't think that's the Postmaster General's goal, to privatize. When Donahoe started out in Pittsburgh, he was a supervisor at the Pittsburgh main post office / processing plant. And I believe he served as the supervisor mail runner. So he directed everybody who ran all the mail between the machines. He's an operations person. He's not a public relations person. So I think he's looking for ways to make the Postal Service more efficient. However, I think the ways in which he's been looking to do this contradict USPS's long-term goals, at least if they want to stay as relevant as they are today.
All right. My guest is Evan Kalish. He is the owner and the author of the website Going Postal. He's also a photojournalist taking photos of post offices around the United States. Let's bring it a little closer to home if we can, Evan, for just a minute, because the USPS has also talked about closing some of its area mail center processing facilities, of which we have one right here in Oxnard, California. That processing center is scheduled to close. The date is to be determined, which means that mail will now be processed in Goleta, California, which is 50 miles away from where we are. So if I have to pay a bill to somebody in Oxnard, the letter will go from the Ventura post box up to Goleta, 50 miles away, then down from Goleta, 50 miles south to Oxnard, to the post office there. Well, it would then be distributed to the postal workers, and as you said, that'll add an extra day to the delivery. The proposed savings...
It wouldn't have to, but as part of the Postmaster General's greater plan to save money, the consolidations would be accompanied by logistical changes, which would also slow down the mail.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Still, we're going to look at probably two-day delivery for that bill. Proposed savings, about $2.2 million per year. Jobs lost, 79 jobs will be lost at that mail processing plant. So I ask you, which is worse in your estimation? You know, spending $2.2 million taxpayer dollars to keep the Oxnard AMP open, or putting 79 people on unemployment? I mean, this is a tough decision between a rock and a hard place.
But you just, but you said something that's not quite correct.
Ah, what's that?
Yes, it's not subsidized by taxpayer dollars at all. It's all by sales. And of course, as you've noted, those sales have been declining of late. And look, I think that could be partly the Postal Service's own doing, because they've declared themselves as irrelevant, or at least in the Postmaster General's view. And I disagree with that on many occasions. But back to your question, it's a very difficult question. I would like, personally, I think it's best for the Postal Service to maintain ties to as many communities as it can, partly because the more friends you have in more communities, the more people will vouch for you in the future. So it's anyone's question. It's not my decision which of those two options is worse. That happens to be the way it is. I'm disappointed, especially if it yields slower mail for, again, those who still use the post office, and especially those who do so on a daily basis. And I'm sorry for the fine folks in Oxnard, some of whom might get transferred to the new plant.
They may. That's true. And there are other post offices where they could be redeployed. But over time, they're looking at an elimination of total of 79 jobs. So 79 jobs will be lost. My guest is Evan Kalish. He is the author and the creator of the website Going Postal. He's got great photographs up there of these various small post offices that he has visited, plus travel notes of his travels to each of these locations. Evan, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your website, what it is that you do, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
You know, I really should get a shorter domain name. I've got a very complicated blog name, so I'll just tell you this. You could either search on Google, you know, on whatever search engine you choose, Evan Kalish, Going Postal, that should lead you right to my site, well, ideally. Or you could also go to www.postmarks.org, postmarks.org, and you'll find a links option, and on that page you'll see a link to my blog, Going Postal. I apologize to anyone who gets offended. It's just a pun, because I go to post offices. And, you can find all my work there, and I hope those who do so enjoy it.
Ah, that is great. Evan, it is a wonderful site, obviously written up in Time Magazine as one of the most interesting sites on this subject. Thank you so much for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.